Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to talk about one of my absolute favorite subjects other than dogs, and that is money. You know, the green stuff that we like to flap around in the breeze and it seems to evaporate as soon as it gets into our fingers? Well, we have got a delightful woman today. Her name is Denise Winston, and we're going to be talking about how you can not have super glue on your fingers when you get your money, but you'll know how to work with it more effectively. And more than that, if you've got kids, we're going to have some wonderful tips for you as well. Denise Winston, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. Pleasure to be here.
Now, you're an interesting lady. You really have a passion about money. You have worked in the banking industry. What made you decide that you wanted to go out and educate people? I mean, there's a plethora of stuff that's out there. What made it your passion?
You know, I, as a banker for 25 years, lived and breathed dealing with Mass America's financial habits every single day. And I saw what happened to people when they unfortunately were making poor financial decisions in their day-to-day lives. And I saw the impact on their health and their relationships and on their overall quality of life. And I realized, I've lived on my own since I was 16, so I've seen what money can do. We all have to deal with it every day of our lives, but yet nobody was teaching it. And a lot of economists make it really complicated. And for the average person, you don't even know what you don't know until you know, unfortunately. And I just started volunteering in the classroom, and it just kind of went from there with my staff. And it just became a real passion of mine. And plus, I have a 20-year-old daughter that we started a really aggressive plan, and a lot of that worked. And it just really has all come together for my life's passion at this point.
Well, I'll tell you, I was really impressed with your story about your daughter, and we'll go into that as well. But let's talk about basics. We have so many people. One, they've lost their jobs. The economy has hit so hard that a lot of people are just going, oh, my Lord, what do I do? And there is a sense of panic.
Yes.
And this is not unusual. When you're bombarded with all kinds of stuff, when you're out of work or when you've, let's say, been laid off and then you get a job where you're making a lot less money, the adjustment is a real difficult one because it doesn't take but a very short period of time to realize that you only have XYZ dollars and you haven't really ever had the budget, maybe because you had $100,000 plus income. And I know I can hear some of my listeners saying, Donna, I wasn't even close to that. Get real, lady. But I'm serious. I've talked to so many people, no matter what their economic level was. I know of people that are working two and three jobs that are just saying, I'm just hanging on by my fingernails. I've known people that have lost their homes. And what I like about what you've done with your DVDs, I like the way you present information because you're really empowering people. So let's get down to some real good bare bone basics. And I would like to start with credit reports. That sounds a little strange, but my goodness, a lot of people just, they are getting hit right and left. Sometimes they can't get a job if they don't have a good credit report.
You are absolutely right. And unfortunately, this is one of those areas that may seem overwhelmingly complicated. But when you break it down, and actually, if you go to my website at denisewinston.com, there is a free download that people can opt in for and get for free, and it will tell them step by step exactly what to do, number one, to obtain their credit reports, because your credit reports and your credit score are two different things. But this report will tell you exactly what to do and how to read that information. And you are so right. unfortunately, even for young people, we don't understand the implication of our credit report and score and how that impacts our life. And it really is the foundation for a solid financial health. And your credit score can either make you or cost you thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars over your lifetime, especially what you're saying, Donna, with being able to affect your earning power. So as long as people understand, we all know we need to make our bills on time, but sometimes we may not realize what happens if we go over our credit limit or if we apply for new credit. There are so many factors that can affect our score and our report, even identity theft, and it's important for people to go, they can go to annualcreditreport.com, and all of this is in my report, but mm-hmm. annualcreditreport.com and print out each one of their credit reports so that they know specifically what's on there, not only for themselves, but if they have been, somebody's been doing identity theft on them, this will also have a very big red flag alert for them to know about it.
Now, identity theft is something I've done a number of shows on, and we're not going to spend a lot of time with that, but this is a wonderful tool to do what you need to do. Now, let's backstep a little bit. I sort of jumped ahead with the credit reports because people don't understand how absolutely important that is. And something that a banker told me not too long ago is that, let's say you're wanting to get a loan. If you go and do whatever applications you need to do and do them within, I think it's like within 7 days. You can have all kinds of people checking you out within that 7-day period. You're not penalized. But if you do it randomly over a period of, let's say, 3 months, then
you're
there's
in
a penalty.
Yeah.
And I, to
well,
me,
it drives down
beyond
your
me.
Yeah, 10% of your credit. 10% of your credit score is actually comprised of the number of times that you apply for credit. And I can tell you that it may seem like no big deal when you go to, say, Target, and they say, hey, would you like to apply for a credit card today and get 20% off? Well, if you're buying a $100 item, you would save $20. But when you were to go in and buy, you know, apply for a mortgage, you may miss a 0.25 discount, which may cost you upwards of $15,000 over the life of that loan. So I strategically say no more than 1 or 2 credit inquiries, and that means anytime you are signing on the dotted line to obtain new credit, get a new cell phone, maybe your landlord, those are all inquiries whenever you provide your social and you sign on the dotted line. Really, you need to strategize with that and really only do that when you absolutely have to. I allow no more than 2 a year.
That's personally really good information. And also you bring out stuff about disputing any credit rating errors. It's going to take 30 to 90 days to clear them up. Now, one, you bring out such wonderful points regarding credit card bills, and I have found this. And all of this stuff that's going on today with the banks and regulations, if you feel like you're getting dizzy from all of this, don't feel badly. All you need to do is really get dizzy, turn your credit card bill over and read the fine print. Get yourself a magnifying sheet, not a little magnifying glass, but get a magnifying sheet so you can really see the bare bone numbers. It's scary when
it's
you get down to reading it.
You know, and this is where my real big drive home point, we must become educated consumers because everybody out there is looking to make a buck, okay? And if we allow them, they'll be making it off of us. And as we all know, with all of this economic crisis and all of these bad loans and everything else, and I've signed thousands and thousands of loan documents over my 25 years, and I can tell you in my entire career, I only had 2 people ever want to read the entire documents. And it's incredibly important that we know at least what to look for when we're signing on those dotted lines. We just have to become educated consumers in this day and age. It's unfortunate, but it is true.
It really is. And with many of them, they are sending out notices that that they have the right to raise rates, et cetera, anytime that they feel. And if you should be late on a payment, they'll jack you up to as much anywhere from 25% up to 30-some-odd%. It is mind-boggling, and it absolutely is just overwhelming. So the credit card industry, it's really something you need to pay attention to. Now, you brought out some organizing things when it comes to dealing with money.
And I thought that this was so well done, and your illustrations, you know, about filing things and setting things up. And I can remember learning to do this years ago. And it's something that is very important. And if you get out of the habit, you find that bills disappear. You don't know where they are. We get so busy, we forget, and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, we got a reminder notice. How come that happened? Give us some of your suggestions.
Well, in my opinion, especially as a banker, I feel like the foundation to good financial health is being financially organized. Number one, it creates a lot of self-esteem, and it reduces stress when we are financially organized. We all get mounds of mail every single day. And I know from just being a banker that when people are organized, whenever I would need documentation, they could bring it in. Take your car, for example. If you had a car file and you just put whatever brand car it was, and every time you had maintenance done to that car, the tires rotated, new batteries, all of that goes in the file. When you go to sell that car, you're going to be able to sell that car for a much higher value because you have the maintenance records, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's smart to have a few files, especially for medical for yourself, have one for your child. I feel very strongly that receipts are actual cash. They are not trash. Even having a simple envelope that you carry around in your purse or in your car or backpack or briefcase, and every time you make a purchase, you place that receipt in your in that envelope, you now have it for returns, you have it for extended warranties, you have it for tax purposes. There are so many things that you can utilize, and especially because so many people have lost their jobs, and we go through and spend money, but think about it, if you made a $5 purchase and it's the wrong battery, if you don't have the receipt, you can't take it back. And people will tell me, Denise, I don't have time. But if you're netting, say, you know, $20 an hour, if you take that $5 item back and it takes you 5 minutes, you're making a pretty good hourly wage by just not throwing that cash away, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So just having your receipts, those are the foundations to make sure that we are really strong and healthy financially.
I agree. Now, you also have an attitude regarding making sure you keep things fairly localized when you have your files so that you can access them easily.
Uh-huh.
And I know in many people's homes, depending on how their kitchen was designed, I've seen a number of them that have a desk actually in the kitchen. They actually will have one of these files that they can put stuff in. I myself will use what I would call a separator, and I have it up on my kitchen counter. So when I'm opening the mail in a certain area, then I can just go ahead and put my bills in that one spot.
Exactly.
And it's habit. And I have made so many times, I've been in a hurry and I go, oh, I'll just put this somewhere else. Well, I learned very quickly. It's so easy to misplace papers. It is absolutely incredibly easy. And then you get very upset with yourself. Then you get anxious. So using the files is a very good deal, a very good thing to do, and especially if you have it located where it's convenient. If you have a place where you open your mail and you can do that. And then you also talk about having a shredder handy.
It is all about convenience. And just like you said, you know, in the DVD, that's why I have the DVD, because most people don't really read on this topic. And I realize that people live very busy lives and they're really visual, and keeping the different learning styles involved here, it's important to have a visualization. And when you think about that very small space that you need to be financially organized and have the certain critical files you need and your bill box, just like you said, and a shredder and a letter opener, pair of scissors, there are just very few things that you need to really improve your overall financial health. And it's really easy to do, and it makes you feel great, doesn't it?
Oh, it's so much less of a hassle. And something that I try to do when my schedule permits it is to have a particular day where I know I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write the bills. And I usually will try to write all of the payments for the bills at one time so that I know I'm getting them done, even if they're going to be mailed out on different dates. And then I put the dates on the outside of the envelopes and have them ready to go. So that's just what I do. I put the date down in the lower left corner. I've been doing that for quite a long time. And it makes it easy.
It's a very smart trick.
It makes it easy. So that's something I'll say, oh, this needs to go out on Monday, or that needs to go out at the end of the month. But when I can do that, boy, it takes the stress away. It really,
yes, it
really does.
Yes, it does. And this is a great box to put together for your kids when they go off to college.
Ah, now let's talk about the kids. I was really impressed. Now, you've got two DVDs on kids. One is Raising Financially Smart Children, which is superb. And then you have Fast Track to Getting the Best Job and Dealing with Money for the Rest of Your Life, which is for your teenagers, you know, that are older teenagers and those that are getting ready to go to college. And I'll tell you what, with each one of these DVDs, you get a workbook. But what I really like about this is the visual that you've provided. It's wonderful. Let's talk about kids. Because in today's world, I'm telling you, I've seen kids walk into McDonald's with $100 bills that a parent gave them, and you look at them and say, I've only got a 20 in my hand. Where did they get that $100 bill? And then you wonder why they go to school. They don't have any awareness. No awareness at all of money, how to budget. I was talking with a woman 2 weeks ago. She has a son who's 32 years old. This is an adult, a mature man. She refused to loan him any more money. She had helped him over and over again. And he wailed and moaned like a teenager.
Yes.
And
it's
that
incredibly
is atrocious.
You know, what happens is if we don't teach our kids money as a life skill, we rob them of their independence, we rob them of their self-respect and self-esteem. Money is control in many, many facets, and I've seen it used so by many parents. And unfortunately, in our society, we've gotten away from teaching financial responsibility and just money as a life skill. And it's incredibly unfortunate because we all deal with money every single day of our life, and it impacts us in so many ways. And as parents, oftentimes, what I found is the parents may not have confidence about what they should be teaching or how they should be teaching it. And that's why I put together the DVD with all the, you know, the workbook with all the exercises and fun things you can do. And as I said, my daughter's 20, almost 21 now. And we really started an aggressive plan by the time she was 13 and helping her save from a car and all those things and putting some control in her hands, because when you're young, it feels like you don't make any decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps build self-esteem when the child has some decision-making. And if we're still putting $5 on the counter every day for lunch, our child is never going to learn. And then when parents get upset when they are 18 and can't go off to college and manage their own funds, or worse yet, they're even older, we become upset, but yet it's our responsibility to make sure they learn these skills.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Now, the DVD that you have shows you presenting a workshop to some parents, and they really find that your workshop presented some very interesting scenarios for them, and they had some very, very good questions. Let's talk about what you did with your daughter relative to introducing her to checks, how to balance a checkbook. I mean, I really am appalled that this is not something that is required in high school for every student, because if they're going to go to work by the time that they're a junior, they need to know about these things. But
well,
apparently that's not the case.
It's not, but I can tell you I am on a mission. I have a real-world financed workshop that I do for graduating senior high schools in auditoriums, and that is my mission, is to get and reach, hopefully this year I'll reach at least 5,000 students, because they do need this information, and they are very keen at hearing it about 5 weeks before they graduate. But as parents, we have a lot of time. When you think about a baby, when they're born, they can just lie there, and then they roll over, and then they can sit up and pull themselves up and then walk and then run, and it takes a long time. And money is like that. We must start as early as we can. And for my daughter, I realized that, unfortunately, sometimes our teenagers don't always like to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in enlisting as many people as you can, and that would, even though I was a banker, I took her into the bank and had the banker speak directly to her about her options, and again, putting some power in her hands as to which account she chose, or at least understanding it, because as parents, our kids kind of drone us out at times. And I created lots of scenarios where she would have to write a check so she could balance her checkbook, like I would invoice her for her cell phone or her text messaging, for haircuts. I did all kinds of creative things for her, and that's why the worksheets are in here, because we need to think outside the box and really enlist our kids and other people to teach them and give them as many learning opportunities as we absolutely can.
You make a couple of comments on your DVD that kids learn what they live, and I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that's with all of us. We can look at something, and until we do it and we are involved with it, we really don't have a feel for it. We can intellectualize about it, but intellectualizing and actually doing are two different things. And you also talk about understanding your kids and their personality type, that there's the savers, and then there are those that are the happy spenders. So you have to be aware and just sort of balance things out. And one of the parents that was in the workshop with you brought up the subject of allowance. Now, when you find out your kid's a spender or your kid's a saver, what would you recommend? Let's address that first.
Well, we need to make sure that we're creating environments for the extreme saver to have to spend some money, because we probably all know somebody that just has a hoard of money and won't even buy a new shirt even though theirs is ripped, or they won't buy the food they need. And yet you see spenders that are on the complete other end, that something's burning a hole in their pocket. And that's where we as parents know our children very, very well. And we, even though we have to put our spending habits aside and really think what's going to, we need to play to their learning style as well as their spending situation. So if you have an extreme saver, you need to create an environment where they're going to have to spend some money on something, whether it's clothing or a game or something that they need to spend money on. And as for the spender, you need to also create an environment where they are going to have to save money or there's a penalty involved. I think that pre-building in penalties, whether it be for late payments or for going over, say, cell phone limits or something like that, it's important for us to do that in advance so that there's no emotion playing into the game as parents later when they didn't follow through with what their responsibility was when it comes to their finances.
You bring out some points, too, that when you are able to interact with other people, whether it's a banker or you have some friend of the family that'll sit down and talk about money with the kids, it really is important because they need to get those perspectives from other people. It's part of what they feel enables them to be grown up. I think that is very, very important. And also, one of the questions that was brought up by one of the parents, when should you start involving your kids in understanding money and the fact that rent has to be paid, utilities have to be paid, insurance has to be paid? Because I can remember when I was growing up, especially with girls, that, well, I think it was with the boys too, but more with the girls, you just were not supposed to worry about that. You know, somebody was going to teach you about
it. Take care of that for you.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, that's not real life. And
no,
I didn't have,
it's not.
It isn't. And I think it's very important the kids understand that money doesn't grow on trees. We can, you know, we can read all we want about money trees. But when you get a check, you don't want to go to one of these agencies that are around that charge you $5, $10, $15 to cash your check. You need to know about a checking account. You need to know about those that are not going to charge you a monthly fee. You're going to need to know about a lot of things. And realities of costs of living is extremely important. His question was, when do you start doing this?
I think that during middle school, there's, you know, summertime and Christmas break and Easter break are all times where the kids are around doing a lot of, most likely nothing, maybe sleeping in. At least that was my experience, unless you really plan that out. And I find that doing these activities during those times, so to answer your question, it would be really around middle school. And this is where that strong conversation comes in with your kid about how much it's really costing for them to be in your household. You know, how much is their, if they have a cell phone, how much is their health insurance, their haircuts, their clothing, and have this conversation with them and have them make a list of, you know, going roller skating or eating out. And when you start making it relative, and that's the key for parents, is really making these conversations relative to the child's day-to-day life helps them build and buy in to the whole exercise. So that was the perfect time for our family, was around, you know, vacations and summers, where we would have a summer project and say, okay, how much is it going to cost to live in this type of apartment? And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than taking your kid to have them look in the paper and find a $300 a month apartment and finding an $800 apartment as to what type of accommodations they may be able to, you know, secure, and how many hours if they think they're going to, you know, have a job that's paying, a lot of kids think $10 an hour is a lot of money, but how many hours after taxes would they need to support that lifestyle is really where the kids' eyes just get big and bold and just are amazed. Now, you may have to run that same scenario a few years in a row as, you know, things increase, but that's a really good time to have this conversation, and that's why I put that worksheet in the parenting workbook, so they can have that open dialogue with their kids and really start that moving in the right direction.
I agree. Now, you had a story about your daughter in her car. I had to chuckle because if she didn't do things the way she was supposed to, you actually became a bill collector, and that cracked me up. You've got to tell that story. I think that's priceless.
You know, it is really critical for we as parents to make sure that our kids understand the seriousness of, you know, their finances and paying their bills on time. And I've told so many stories about her. I feel sorry for her at times to be my daughter because I constantly share these stories. She was actually here earlier today, and in the workbook is her resume, and it's just funny to look at that. But really, as parents, we do need to set those things in advance to make sure that our child is set up. And for my daughter's 18th, or for graduation, she had borrowed money to buy the car from us, and I had, she only had $300 left for graduation, and I, as a parent, wanted so much to give her that additional $300 to pay off her car for graduation, but I had to resist that, because what was I doing if I paid off something that took her so long to pay for? I would have robbed her from that experience of accomplishment. So sometimes as parents, I think it's very difficult for us to watch our children struggle, but yet it's important because she can do it, and she didn't need my help, and she got the sense of accomplishment by actually paying that car off herself.
Absolutely. And more than anything else, you know that your daughter, if you weren't around to assist her and you came into a situation of hard times like a lot of adults are going through right now, she'd be able to manage it. She would say,
well,
okay, I can do this because I've got to allot so much for groceries, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that. It's amazing. You have to trust and realize that they are capable. And just like we've, as adults, have had to go through this and maybe had some painful experiences, but it's better to teach them when they're young. Otherwise, if they get out there as adults and they don't know how to add two and two, much less take care of writing checks and taking care of bills, they're going to be in a real pickle.
And I will tell you, Donna, it's interesting you say that, but the reason why I became so aggressive with my daughter and the plan to put this under in wraps, like I said, I've lived on my own since I was 16, and my mother actually passed away when my daughter was 13, and I realized there, right then and there, that if I didn't, because sometimes as parents we feel guilt for whatever reason, maybe it's a divorce or you didn't have as a child, so you want to give to your child. I found myself in that situation. I had the means, and I had gone through a divorce and all kinds of things, so I was buying and doing for her. But what I realized is I had the fortune of living on my own and having to do, and when my mother actually passed away at that time, I made a conscious decision that if something happened to me, I needed my daughter. I needed to know that my daughter could survive without me.
Right.
And that is specifically when this plan went into full-blown play and it became a project.
Well, as you can tell, Denise has a real passion for what she's done. Her DVDs are excellent. Denise, with our remaining time, what's your website?
DeniseWinston.com.
Okay, D-E-N-I-S-E, Winston, W-I-N-S-T-O-N. .com, DeniseWinston.com. Check out her DVDs because they really are good. And if you know of a family that is just really concerned about how are they going to communicate with their kids about money, her DVD is outstanding. You will really find it very, very valuable. If you've got young people getting ready to go to college, she's got one for young adults.
If you are wanting to get a better hold on how to manage your own finances more effectively, go for it. It's really very, very good material. Denise, I really think you've done a great job with Raising Financially Smart Children, that DVD. Oh, and there's workbooks with every single one of these DVDs. I forgot to mention that.
That's okay. And the best part is that each one is under $20.
Wow. Well, you're not going to get a better deal than that. And if nothing else, you can pass it on if you want to. When you're finished with it and you know somebody that needs something that's going to give them some good, basic, down-to-earth, common sense that's going to empower them, can't go wrong with Denise Winston's material. Raising Financially Smart Children, Financial Foundations for Young Adults, and Financial Foundations for Adults, Simple Practical Solutions for Dealing with Money for the Rest of Your Life. Good stuff. Denise, thank you for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you, and I wish you nothing but success. And I
thank
hope you
reach
Donna. That goal for 5,000 kids. That is awesome.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the kind words and for the encouragement.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo, DeniseWinston.com. Check it out. This is Donna. We'll be taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Now remember, if you're a first-time listener, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's all. Of course, I like to know where you're calling in from, too. And then let me tell you what I perceive, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. So again, 888-815-9756. Oh, by the way, I can't forget, it's coming up real fast, and that's the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Now, I've been involved in this for almost 10 years, and I just absolutely love this event. It's here in the Pacific Northwest, so those of you who are in Washington, boy, get your calendars out and mark a day or come the whole weekend, March 4th, 5th, and 6th. This is an awesome event. And I have the privilege of, in the third year of doing this, of presenting a women's forum. I'm going to have 6 dynamic women speakers. We're going to be talking in the first hour from 11 till noon about health and wellness. And in the second hour from 1 until 2, we will be talking about animals, communicating with them, fun stories. And then from 2 to 3, we're going to be dealing with the law, domestic abuse, juveniles, and much, much more. So we just have a tremendous, tremendous group of women that, again, I'm going to be hosting at the Girls Talk stage on March the 4th. Now, I'm going to be in booth number 407, and this event is marvelous. There are about 400 vendors to turn out for this, and products and services all oriented towards we females. It is more fun. It's a great way to spend time maybe with a friend and just be good to yourself. So if you want to find out more about this wonderful event, go to the Northwest Women's Show, and you can use nwwomensshow.com. Check out all the details, driving directions, everything are right there for your convenience as well as a schedule. I'm going to be speaking also on Saturday and Sunday, 1:30 on Saturday and 1 o'clock on Sunday, about the psychic mind and you. So I hope if you're listening and you're in the Pacific Northwest that you'll come on out and see me. And then we have the Emerald Spiral at the end of March on March 26th. But the Northwest Women's Show is first and foremost, and, oh, it's going to be really super. As always, it's just absolutely a delight to be a part of it. Okay, I want to share a poem with you. It's still winter, but I'll tell you, here in the Pacific Northwest, even though we are totally living up to our reputation of the gray skies and the cold, brisk weather, which we are having, believe it or not, the crocus are already in bloom here. We have got flowers that are just coming up abundantly. But for so many of you, you're still experiencing snow. And I thought I'd share this little poem by Isabella Gray. And I've got this gorgeous photograph that shows these tall, tall, tall trees that are just absolutely packed with snow and this brilliantly clear, rich, deep blue sky that is lit up by a silver moon. Oh, it reminds me of Alaska. It's just absolutely gorgeous, the photograph. And this is what the poem, how it reads. A brilliant moon shining bright above the rolling hills of winter. Deer dreaming under a golden sky. There is something of the sacred in the peace of nature. Isabella Gray. I just love that. It's so true. You know, if you take time, just go out for a walk. Or maybe if you have a deck or a balcony, if you live in an apartment, whatever. But stop and be aware of the weather around you. Even if it's snowing, if it's bitter cold, be aware. There is so much with nature that just talks to you if you take the time to listen. And you don't have to go hiking in the mountains to do it. You can do it in your own backyard. It is absolutely marvelous. I just love it. I think all of the seasons. I'm a four-season type of a gal. I thoroughly enjoy it. I may fuss at it once in a while. Like, we get sort of weary of the gray skies here in the Seattle area, but that's okay. They go. But when you see all these flowers coming out in bloom, you know spring is just around the corner, even though we can still get snow flurries every once in a while and storms. And it's just exciting. There's just a feel. There's even a fragrance that's in the air that is absolutely awesome. Okay, I wanted to share with you a story quickly about Pike Place Market, which is very, very famous here in the Seattle area. And the reason it's so famous is that you go into the Pike Place Market and you're dealing with vendors, local fishermen, local farmers. They bring their produce in every day. The fish come in every day. I mean, it is just an absolutely marvelous place to visit. If you're from out of state and you think you'd like to come visit the beautiful Pacific Northwest, that is a must-see. And they've got it so that you can walk and walk and walk for hours. You can go down by the docks. But Pike's Market is incredibly diverse. It's just absolutely wonderful. And the fragrances and smells that you will get. One area you go through a tea place, and you've got all these wonderful aromas of cinnamon and dark teas and coffees. Oh, it's absolutely magical. And this is a story about Pike Place Market because it is known for its spooks. Uh-huh, that's right. We have got some real interesting characters that apparently like Pike's Market so much that they have stayed there for a long, long time. There's an elderly Native American woman that's been seen by many people that do business there. A little boy, there is a very large woman, a woman of size, as we would say today. And there is a tall African American man that's often seen. And I thought it was just shopkeepers that typically would see this. But you know what? Tourists that have visited Pike's Market have said they've been aware of strange happenings through the years. And they'll sometimes see these spirits and they'll disappear right in front of them. And dependent on the time of day or evening when they're in the market, they might hear footsteps. And they turn around and nobody's walking. Aha! That's a little, you know, puts the hair up on the back of the neck a little bit. And also they find things might be moved while they're near them. It's so much fun. I just love ghost stories, don't you? And I also thought that another place I would tell you about is Virginia City. Now, Virginia City has a tremendous, this is in Nevada, there's all kinds of stories about Virginia City. But there's a particular hotel that has its own story. It was built in 1876. The name of this hotel is the Silver Queen. Now, this place, they don't have phones, televisions, or alarm clocks. They don't have them there. They have 29 rooms, and if you want to use the phone, well, with cell phones, you can use that. But they don't have them there. Now, history buffs just love it. And people who come to Virginia City, they come there to play and to gamble and to research the history. And wedding parties, people that are celebrating their anniversaries, it's just a wonderful place to go to. However, there are some ghost hunters that like to check it out because in Virginia City, there have been reports of extreme paranormal activity. So there are people that come deliberately to do research, those Ghostbusters, but also people that have not come to have experiences with them have witnessed some very interesting ethereal activities. One couple that stayed there heard the sound of a banjo being tuned in the room next to them, and when they tried to check it out, because they like banjo music, there was nobody there. Uh-huh. They also heard an argument going on outside the door to their room. They opened the door. Nobody's there. But they could still hear the people arguing. That would make for a restful night, wouldn't it? Well, this particular couple knew after those two experiences, they were in a haunted hotel. They finally got to sleep. When they did, there was a pounding on their door. When they opened it, nobody was there. I don't think I'd want to stay there if I wanted to get a good night's sleep. How about you? This is Donna Sebo, and if you want to give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. Now, I want to let you know who's going to be coming on the air with me during the rest of this week. Shatar Shapira is going to be with me tomorrow. We're going to be having some good music. That's right. This is a young lady who is doing quite well with her music and also with her acting. This particular CD is called So VIP, and it's really quite nice. So we're going to be playing excerpts from that and talking with Shatar. Her nickname is Hottie. Yes, Hottie. So she's just a delightful person. I had the privilege of meeting her last year, and I told her I would listen to her music and I'd have her as a guest. And by golly, I'm sorry it's taken me so long to do it. She's just an absolute delight, so I know you'll enjoy her. Now, Joyce Fallon is a children's author. She's going to be on the air with me on Thursday. We're going to be talking about what it takes to be an author of children's material. Some of you wish to be writers. Maybe you'd like to do fiction, romance novels, but maybe you'd like to write children's books. Well, Joyce is going to be sharing some of her expertise, and she's also got a couple of books, The Robin's Nest and Choo Choo Woody, that we're going to be discussing, and I know that you'll find her just a fascinating lady. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Bob. This is all about a drugless guide to balancing female hormones. It's taken so long to really understand that the artificial hormones create such side effects that a lot of women have been years later suffering those side effects. The human body is an amazing living machine. Fortunately, we are finding out how to take better care of ourselves. So this is a topic that I think is really worth knowing about. And you guys that are perhaps married to gals that are going to be going into menopause, this is something that is very, very important. And it pays to be informed, guys, because it really does make a difference. Sometimes you think that the females in your life are getting a little loony. Well, those hormones, They wreak a problem with the fellows, but more so with the gals. So this is good information for you. By the way, if you've missed the show or you want to find out about who's coming on the Donna Sebo Show, all you need to do is come right here to bbsradio.com, station 1, and go to the Donna Sebo Show and tap on where it says show information, and you'll find all of the write-ups regarding each of the people that are my guests. If you've missed something, just know the archives are there, and you can go back and listen at your leisure. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've got some things to share with you, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And, hey, if you want to talk to me, give me a call at 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Today, because we were talking about money, I thought I'd share some tips on how to save dollars. I came across this one suggestion. I'd seen a program that included some information about this particular tip. Oh, it must have been a month ago. And when I saw it written up in a magazine, I thought, oh, I've got to check this out because it's something I could use. It would make a difference and perhaps would lower some of the costs for utilities that we have. And it's 15% of an energy bill comes from what they call phantom power usage. Phantom power usage. Now, that's when you've got electrical gadgets that have a light on or when they're done charging or they're supposed to be turned off. I have a coffee maker that we keep plugged in all the time because the water stays hot in it, and then first thing in the morning you go and you pour it through and you got, you know, your pot of coffee if you want it. But that's all energy. That's all energy. We have computer equipment, printers, this type of thing. Well, this is a device that was invented. It's called smart power strips and chargers. Now, these are fairly new, and I'm going to see about getting one myself because I really could use it. There are things that we have in our offices that if this was utilized, probably would enable us to save maybe as much as $200 a year. And what they do, when the electronics aren't in use or if they have been fully juiced, like your cell phone, then it automatically switches off the power. Now, apparently, there is one called Bits Smart Strip Power Cord, and you can check it out at energycircle.com, and apparently it costs about $28. But this is something that would be terrific. Think of your television set. Think of the computers that you have. Think of your microwave. All of your different items. You've got, you know, certain stoves, but various things, equipment for video games, that we don't give a thought to. It's just there. Well, it's all using energy. So if you're trying to save money, that can really do it. And then if you want to save money more than 20% of what you normally would spend in groceries, they say they have done research on people, and nearly 60% of what people purchase at the supermarket is bought on impulse. And that adds quite a bit to your yearly food budget. So if you pay with cash, when you pay with real money, not a credit or a debit card, you're subconsciously more careful about what you pick up. Using cash or a check that you know you're going to be having that money coming out of your cash at the bank right away. But you're probably going to be more conscientious. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't take family members with me when I go shopping. Because I find it's like, oh, why don't we get this? Or why don't we get that? No. I'm shopping. I'm keeping tabs. This is what I do. So I like to go by myself because then I don't spend as much money. And also, there are cards, credit cards can come with discounts. But what if you don't want to apply for one? Remember what Denise said about applying for credit cards if they say, gee, we're going to save you so much money? Well, if any of you belong to the AAA, by golly, you can save $100 or more a year, and that may not sound like a lot, but figure that that's money you're not spending. And you know what? That their membership card can save 10-15%, and you can go to all kinds of exhibits, and if you're someone who is a senior citizen that has this, you may even get more of a discount. Hotels, motels, all kinds of things. So all you have to do is show your AAA card or enter your membership number online, and they automatically apply your discount. Well, this is some information. When I came across it, I just thought, oh, boy, that's the first time I've ever heard it, because when I go to my mechanic, it's 3,000 miles, you need an oil change. Well, if you think that that's the case, it's not necessarily so. You can wait 2 to 3 times longer for an oil change. Most car models that were manufactured in 2000 and later can be driven 7,500 to 10,000 miles, and most older cars can make it 5,000 miles. Now, who says this? Lauren Fix. He has put out a book on how to love your car. And he said, consult your owner's manual to find out how many miles your car can go and what type of oil will make it last. And if you've got an older vehicle, you might find that your vehicle is developing some seepage, some leaks in there. And just remember to check your oil periodically and keep adding to it if you need it. But we are really advancing with the products that we're developing, and you can go a little bit longer than you expect. But you need to be aware that you have to check that oil. So get that dipstick out periodically, at least once a month, and make sure that your oil levels are where they're supposed to be. Just a few tips there that I thought you might enjoy finding out about, because there are so many ways that we need to be aware that we can save money. And I think a tip that is very, very important, and it's something that I can remember learning many, many years ago, and that is if you can make an amount for savings, it's automatically withdrawn from your paycheck or your account on a regular basis, you're going to be able to acquire a nice chunk of cash. And boy, it makes it nice when you want to do some investing, or if you have a special account where you want to save money for a vacation. And then lo and behold, you've actually got the cash that you want for that vacation that you otherwise might have to put on a credit card. Well, if you do use a credit card while you're on vacation, that's great. You've got the money in the bank to pay the bills as soon as you get home. Isn't that nice? I just think that's very special. Well, this is Donna Sebo. Tomorrow, yes, we are going to be listening to some good music. So I hope you'll join me. Tell your friends. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day or evening wherever you are. Stay warm, stay sassy, and enjoy life. It's a gift. It's meant to be savored, like a good glass of wine. Donna Sebo here. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.